All right, welcome to the 16th episode of Up on Foil, the podcast where we talk all about foiling. And today we have a special guest. It's Anna Ambrosiak. Is that pronounced correctly, first of all?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm Polish, so it's my surname. It's not easy, you know, especially after 5 years in Australia to pronounce from people from here. But yeah, Ambrosiak, it's my surname. That's correct.
Perfect. You're a very talented foiler. You're an owner and founder of a wing center, kingwing.com. You're doing crazy wave rides. You're a woman in a man-dominated foil world, and you still have to hear the sentence, well, that was pretty good for a woman, which we'll probably talk about later on as well. You, as you said, are originally from Poland, but live in Perth, Australia now. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Is there anything you need to add or want to add?
Look, so long story short is I just came to Perth just before COVID. Then I sort of, you know, stuck with my windsurfing gear and wave sailing. That was my main goal, to be here on holidays.
What's a pity.
And then, yeah, what's a pity and such a bad place to stuck, right? So after a year, I was running back of the day marketing agency and media house in Poland. And, you know, after a year, I connect with my friends and I said, oh, guys, should I stay? Should I go? They said, Anna, Europe obviously is crap. We wear the mask. So maybe if you want to stay, what you will be doing? And I said, look, I don't know, but in the one month's time, I will give you a call and I will figure out. And I was thinking, you know, I know a lot about marketing, enough about business and water sport. And I called them back and I said, look, right, I just start to self-learn wing foiling and I will open first wing for school in Australia.
That is super cool. So you just said, I want to learn that for being able to teach later on.
Yeah, so, you know, I have one of my study which was finishing in Poland. It was sport and physical education. So I have this, you know, methodology background. And I guess I was teaching people skiing during my study and windsurfing. So I just, you know, need to adjust this to new discipline, which this self-learning process, as you guys probably know, it's pretty hard and usually long and frustrating. I knew exactly what I don't want to do or how hard it can be for people if you don't have a guidelines. And it's not that I was like, you know, tiny with my money to don't invest in the classes or something, but there was no one, absolutely no one here 4 years ago who was teaching winging. So, you know, I thought that I will take this opportunity, self-learn myself. And it was up north. It's in Exmouth. So it's like 1,500 kilometers from Perth, as an Australian usually used to say, just behind the corner, mate. So I made, yeah, distance here is crazy, really. So when I, you know, make the ride back to Perth, organize myself, permit and, you know, accreditation, open the school that people are desperate to learn. So it was good timing.
That is cool. You said you have a windsurfing background, and I read that you also sailed 470.
Yeah, true. I was sailing and competing in 470s Olympic class for Polish national team many years ago, you know, but yeah, that was my sport career, how I, you know, start to be into water sports.
We had Nathalie Brugère a couple of episodes ago. Do you know her? She used to sail 470 as well and went to the Olympics with it.
Oh, no, I never met her, actually, but that's so cool.
That's just a personal question. And then you wanted to start winging. Did you see videos about it and thought, that looks cool? Or how did you come up with that?
To be fair and be fully honest with you, and my students know this, so I don't need to, you know, hide this. Literally, I saw winging first time in Tenerife, I believe, when I was on my wave sailing trip. And I was like, what the heck is that? It looks so stupid. Who wanna do this? And I said, why would you, you know, keeping this funny wing in your hand if you can just hook yourself in a harness and job's done? So I was like, nah, never, you know, it will never go through. And then when I start to self-learn, I was thinking, okay, because, you know, obviously, as you guys know, you don't need much wing to start winging. So wind, sorry. So I was like, okay, from 8 knots to 16, I will be winging and then go windsurfing. But obviously, now I'm winging in 35 knots. I'm not saying it's as pleasant, but yeah, we'll talk about later.
You got the hang of it.
transition to my downwind adventure, sort of.
Do you still windsurf?
No, to be fair, I still have my beautiful Goya gear, but I didn't touch this last, I think, 2 years.
Oh.
If anyone, by the way, if anyone wanna buy, it's pretty good gear. Joking.
So you said that you're getting into downwinding.
Yeah, actually, recently. To be fair, on my holidays in next month, I have a quick go. But, you know, too small foil, wrong equipment, just hire from someone. And it absolutely didn't work well. I also was trying to use my wing in the hand, thinking that, you know, it might be advantage because I know how to wing. But it was just, to be fair, mucking around and probably cheating. And when I came back to Perth, I was like, right, okay, now... I'm commit, so I was photoshooting proning and towing at Bali 2 weeks ago, but since I back, I was like, no, now I'm fully, you know, commit, and now when it's windy, I even don't go winging because I really want to, you know, need this. So today it's fifth day of my practice, and I really put hours on this because just if people think, oh, you make it look easy or something, it's not easy for anyone, I'm more than sure. But yesterday I was paddling 1.5 hours on the river, you know, it was like running marathon, but didn't give up. But to the point, today it's fifth day, and I'm so stoked, guys. Because it happened, I was up on the foil and did proper 10 meters with turning, so it was not like just, you know, accident. So I get the taste. I'm super stoked because, to be fair, I didn't expect that it happened today, but yeah, now I know where I am and just need to put the hours in this.
The first feeling is the one that makes you addicted.
Yeah, I need to tell you guys, I mean, because probably people, you not sure if you will be asking about this, but many people asking, oh, Anna, how you can, you know, be in water in Australia, it's so many sharks. But I'm sure if sharks were around me, I was yelling from the stock so loudly that all of them gone.
Was that hard for you when you said, all right, I want to learn that, but then to really commit? Because usually when there's waves, there's also wind, so you could be winging instead and it would be a lot more fun. Is that a problem?
True, Matt. And when I was up north, it would be a problem because Exmouth have a good waves, but not many people knows that Perth doesn't have really good swell. It just ocean bumps. So here it's way easier to commit because I can go either way to the river, practice my winging freestyle session, or go to the ocean, you know, but this is not a wave. So it's like for me here going winging, it's a little bit losing time. So it's easier to commit. And I'm not sure if it's true because, you know, I'm not advanced downwinder, just a newbie learner. But many people who are doing this really well says that Perth is one of the best conditions in the world. So I guess I'm in the right spot.
And are you learning that for yourself or also for teaching later on?
This is a good question. So with me, never know. But my idea was learning for myself and also want to be, you know, honest with my audience and all my followers to show them that, you know, of course, I'm human as well. And I'm, you know, I'm going through this process. It's hard for me. Of course, I'm falling off and etc. But since I start to, you know, public these funny stories, like more people related and they start to text me, oh, like, you know, oh, Anna, can you advise what board you're using, how you get to this point or what you do this? So I'm thinking not, you know, maybe teaching, because I'm sort of moving myself from teaching, which I explain you in the second, but maybe next year, if I will be good enough, do some downwind camps that I can include in wing camps or, you know, foil camps, that would be great. But I think at the moment it's cool that people can see there is someone like them on the other side who is struggling, you know, and trying and put the effort and hours. And it's not like this, you know, no offense, but with this all pro this, when you watch them and you see how easy they doing this and you think, oh shit, I will never will be there. So I guess it's encouraging to my audience, and I you know, try to be honest. And also I'm very happy and lucky because I have really good lads around me in Perth and really good guys which give me a tips, so I can share this hopefully with you know, everyone.
And you had your fifth session today, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So I'm really honest. Look, I'm a really determined person, and I put, you know, like all life in sports, and very, you know, my self-discipline is on high level after training sailing, but I didn't have the expectation to be up, you know. That was a very nice surprise and a reward from this last 5 days, you know, just consistently, you know, paddling.
And your hair is still wet from the last session today. How hard was it, or how did you improve, like, session per session? Do you always see progression, or sometimes you have the third session that was worse than the second one?
Yeah, I think on day third, I thought it will be regress, because like with everything, you know, learning skiing, windsurfing, winging, it's always like that. But I was trying to focus on small elements, and I think the game changer for myself, it was different paddle technique, obviously proper gear. This helps me a lot, but also trying to focus on paddle technique, which is more like really leaning in the front and make a stroke with your, you know, paddle in the front of nose of the board and leaning on this paddle instead, and finish when is your, you know, when your front feet toes start, instead, you know, just what I was doing, I guess, when I start, I was just like, you know, touching the water, or I don't know even what I was doing. So this helps me a lot. And since I understand how to do, I just put the hours on this, you know. But if we say, let's say yesterday I went to the river because we didn't have bumps in the ocean, so we can say it's sort of regress, because I was paddling on flat water, you know, and try only catch the wake. But on the other hand, today was a reward from this. So, but I'm sure, the journey is for a long explanation, but I think the journey just literally just starts. So now I'm literally start learning. It's not that I, you know, can do it. Absolutely not.
Tell us a little bit about Perth, because I'm super, so interested in Australia. And I want to know, like, what's the first thing that you thought when you just landed in Perth, or Australia in general?
Oh my God, first thing, it was the birds on the airport, because they were so loud and the noise was so weird, you know. They were like, I don't even know how to say, because it was not really singing, but it was like a little bit like, you know, yelling. So it was, I probably will never forget this. But for me, you know, being European, it's like Australia is a different world, you know, especially WA, Western Australia, when I'm based. I would describe you like that, this is beautiful land with you know, wind and waves access on the all coastlines, and probably not so crowded in terms of people. So probably you'll meet more wild animals than humans, besides of, you know, big cities like Perth, or actually Perth is one of the biggest city on WA, and that's it. Most of the time the other are smaller. So if you want to really, like, you are ocean lover and, you know, nature lover, that's the probably the really way to go. And wildlife is just absolutely overwhelming. I'm traveling a lot, but I never ever see something like that before around the world. Like, you know, bridging ways, turtles, the one I mentioned about, you know, sharks and snakes, because obviously they live here, but it's not so bad as people think. I guys, I'm here 5 years, and I laughing that I met 2.5 snake, because half dead on the road. But you know, five years, and I touch the wood, I still do this, I never met the shark in the water. I know it's unreal, I know that they're there and they are every day there, but maybe I'm very lucky. However, first week here I was behaving like idiot, because each time I screwed the jibe on my windsurfing session behind out of the reef, I still have the skills, I am the fastest water start person on windsurfing in the world. I think I was doing water starting 2 seconds, because I was shitting myself.
I know that feeling 100%. I saw one at the Canary Islands. It was even a small one, but I saw one, and then like, oh, don't mess up that jibe. And then I messed it up, and I was back on super quickly.
But, you know, I met some beautiful manta rays, stingrays, turtles. One bad thing, actually, from North, I really literally hit the turtle with foil, and I was scared if I didn't, you know. They have a tough shell, but I was scared if I didn't do anything to him. And I was literally on my new foil, you know, and I was turning around in the water like, oh, my God, please be in one piece. But, you know, all good, luckily.
You're probably still happy in Perth. At least it sounds like that. Maybe you can tell us a story how you built your wing center. I imagine that needs a lot of time, a lot of money, and also a bit of luck that people actually want to learn these sports. Maybe can you tell us about that?
And maybe you can also add on how we're able to actually stay in Australia, because it's pretty tricky.
Yeah, that both thing actually, guys, were really tricky. Definitely, I am the risk taker, you know. So if someone says to me, oh, it's too hard, it's impossible, that's for me like, you know, open doors and invitation to prove that it's possible. Probably it's from, you know, my sport determination. So in the beginning was really hard to get this, you know, old permit, because the law in Australia, you need to have a separate permit for each location you want to teach from the local, you know, governments or shires of the cities. You need to be accredited, which means by under some, you know, sport organization body like Kiteboarding Australia or Australian Sailing, which gives you, it does usually cover your insurance as well. And many things like, you know, logistic point with who to collaborate, organize the gear, etc., and how I wanted to set up this all lessons program. Lucky enough that on early days I was invited also to be board member of Kiteboarding Australia. So I was volunteering for this organization almost 3 years. And, you know, I wrote actually the winging teaching curriculum, and we were collab with BKAS in UK, and had my friend Andy Gratwick here, and we did first instructor course, and that's how sort of it started. And then we deliver first state title, which is in Western Australia, and then wing nationals, you know, competition. So that was like sort of going all together, running the business plus volunteering in this organization. So I was really busy person for like 2.5-3 years, but now I decide sort of transist. And in terms of living in Perth compared to Warsaw, because I'm from Warsaw, it's absolutely, you know, different things. My goal was be close to the ocean, no matter where, because one of my good friends laughing at me that, you know, I'm more fish than human, so probably the ocean is my natural habitat, and I feel safer there. But people here were very friendly and helpful, you know, with this building my school. And yeah, you know, life in Perth, definitely it's good when you have a lot of money, because it's Australia is pretty expensive. And in terms of the lifestyle, I think people have really, really good life here. But yeah, with the visa process, because I think that was another question, it's very tricky, you know. Some people are trying to do this in 5 years and they failed, and there's big dramas because they need to come back home and, you know, stay sort of with nothing, with many investment. So it's and I think that Australian government make this really each year harder and harder. I'm lucky because I really don't feel like I want to live here forever. So last 2 years, I have my old visas here, which is pretty special. But I am in winter, I am at Mauritius, or either way at Bali, because Australia is not as warm as you guys can think, especially WA. And June, July, which is Australia, in August, Australian winter, in my opinion, it's worse than winter in Europe, because it's just cold and they don't have isolation in the houses, you know, so it's like outside, inside sort of same. So it's not, and raining all the time. So it's not the, you know, perfect condition for people who do water sport.
When you started that pro center, I imagine it's hard to find a building close to shore, and that's expensive. And then you need to buy a certain amount of wings, boards, foils. Again, super expensive, this stuff. How do you manage that?
So I did it pretty clever, actually, because I had savings from home, but I didn't want to use it because for me it was like a trial and I wasn't sure if I want to live in Australia. So didn't want to invest a lot of money here. I went for a few meetings with the biggest local shops, and I pick one and we start collab. So the deal was that they were deliver, the gear for my school. And in exchange, I was sending them people for buy a gear. And this is how we start collab. And also in first year, I really wanted to do this because I was thinking it would be smart movement from myself. I'm from Europe. No one knows me. And anyone here, from local people, almost everyone knows this shop. So it was good from marketing side as well for myself. And then next year, I started to organize, buying my own gear for the school and still dealing with the same shop, but at the end of the year, probably most of the school does around the world selling the gear and replace this. But I pretty quick realized that I don't want to really be retailer, if you know what I mean. One hand, you can earn maybe pretty good money, but then you're just spending your days in the Excel sheet. So this is not...
You're a saleswoman then, yeah?
Yeah.
Was that then when you started your Instagram account, or was that before already?
No, actually, I opened an Instagram account, I think, for the school maybe 2 years ago, and for myself proper 1 year ago. And actually, I started to do Instagram when I decided sort of to not have the school. So it's how it's funny things is. So last year, I had a conversation with my friends in Mauritius, and... there is many brands there based which they test the gear. And I said to one of my friends from Ozone, I said, look, today I have, I think it was in July, 2023. And I said, look, I have 800 followers at the moment, but in the year time, I will have one more 10,000. And he looked at me and said, okay, Anna, I know you, but let's see, and hopefully this week I will cross 11,000. Maybe it's not a big number, from some other people, but I'm pretty proud of it. And it was a lot of hard work in the background and many hours and commitment. And also, be honest with my audience, it was very important to me because I just show, what I'm doing and who I am. No offense to the some of the other girls, but, G-string, G-string way, this is not my cup of tea. So I just, I'm just doing me.
And you're on almost 11,000. You can see Anna at foil.anna, and you're... Wing center handle is what exactly?
It's a long name because it's King Wing dot foil center.
All right, good. So if you haven't seen her, go watch there. It says on your Insta that you're team rider for Lift Foils. How did that happen?
So 3 years ago, when I think when I was good enough on wing foiling, I started to collab with this local shop. I was first team rider for the shop, and then was introduced to a few brands. And after testing few foils, I pretty quick jump on lift foil. So for me, it was natural transition because I was already 1 or 2 years, on lift, and I really like those foils. So when we have opportunity to talk, it was natural next step. In the meantime, I was also working with different brands, on Australian or international market, but at the moment it's actually interesting time because I'm thinking what to do, with in terms of what gear I would love to ride next year. So have some conversation in the background. So let's see how it goes. I'll keep you guys posted because who knows what 2025 bring. Hopefully only good stuff with good gear.
So you told us that you wanna transition. You wanna make a transition now from your school to something else. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. So look, I really love teaching, and I'm normal girl, but when you go to Google reviews and read the Google reviews about Kingwing, if I would be like, if it would be not my school and I will be reading this, I will think that it's just, you know, a scam or someone is putting fake reviews, because people really very, you know, like a very high talk about my lesson, about myself, which is amazing, and I'm very grateful for that. But I was putting guys like, you know, I'm athlete, but also maybe this is, I don't know, my Polish blood or something. I was putting 300% of energy in each lesson, you know, talking all the time, you know, using devices, and really like I cared for my students. I want to really make everyone successful. And people usually were up on the foil on second lesson. I think it's pretty fast and unusual, you know, especially you, that we have some not always flat water, he sometimes bumps. And it was great adventure, you know, and working with Skydiving Australia, organizing this comp, you know, be on the board, be one of the founder national wing committee here. That was all great, but I feel like it's time to move on to different things. And also, will be not lying, working as a, you know, having a school center and working as well sometimes as an instructor is really hard work, especially in Australia, in this, you know, wind and very, very hot summers. And I had the instructors, but this is which I probably didn't predict here. That's really, this is not like Europe. It's really hard to find a good quality, you know, stuff to work. And I was like, each season starting, you know, make a recruitation, and then I ended up probably usually almost by myself. So I was like, right, so this is will not gonna happen if it's happening like that 3 years in a row. So I thought, okay, what can I do next, you know? So instead doing lessons, I will be doing camps at Bali, Mauritius, and in Australia. And this is like a trips when people can just join because they want to have a social wing, or also camps in terms of if you want to learn something from beginners to all levels. Mauritius is a great spot to learn wave riding, for example, you know, on baby step to big waves. Bali is great to learn tow foiling or light wing, you know, light wind. So winging is pretty pleasant there as well. So this is what I'm focusing from the business part, and two more things, but I can't tell now.
All right, let's wait then for that. Where can people find about these trips, about these camps?
So at the moment, I put all the information through my Instagram channels, and I checking the you know, interest of this, and have actually pretty good feedback. So I'm very happy about this. What I can say, we have a dates for the trips, that's for sure, and we'll be doing a big camp at June and July in Mauritius next year. So if you guys are free, more than welcome to join, even for social winging, probably March, April, and August, Bali. But Bali trips, you know, because when you think probably Bali either of Mauritius is quite far distance from Europe, but from Australia, especially Perth, when I'm based, it's 3.5 hours to Bali and 8 hours direct flight to Mauritius. So I'm a little bit like in triangle, you know, with that. So yeah, so transition to hopefully to be a full Instagram team rider and doing my camps. So this is the goal. And obviously, you know, I because people say find yourself proper job. I do proper job, and I was doing this proper job many years, you know. So now I'm trying to have some fun in life, because I think that life is short, and you know. And I'm like, you know, have a good thoughts about this, that maybe this is good direction. Hopefully we see.
Plus it's still a job, right? Even though it might be a job that is super fun and enjoyable, which it won't be all the time, obviously, but that jobs can be fun too, right?
Yeah, 100% agree, Matt. And you know how it is. People think like, oh, Anna, you're living in a dream, spending all days in the ocean. But it's a lot of, you know, work in the computer, organized. You know, guys, how it is. It's just a normal job, just in the recreation area. So, you know, organize these camp trips, dealing with the local, you know, providers, etc.
You said that in Mauritius, it's great for wave riding. And I want to get into that because I think that was one of the first videos I saw of you with the wing in a, for me, crazy big wave. First of all, how do you start to learn getting into waves? And then are you never scared?
Of course I'm scared, and I'm the girl. So probably I will be, you know, I will be honest with you. Of course I'm scared. Sometimes I'm terrifying. I only not screaming because I know that it doesn't help me to do anything. But usually when I'm with my colleagues, they will say, oh, I said, I'm scared. And they said like, I'm scared too. But they then on the beach, they probably will hide this because, you know, ego going on and stuff. No, it was okay. But sometimes it's, yeah, especially like probably my biggest experience, luckily finished good, was this year in Exmouth, and the swell was 10 feet. I don't know, guys, how to explain you. I never see ever something. I have never ever seen something like that in my life before. It was just the walls of the water coming towards me, and I can't even describe how I was feeling. Probably took me 20 minutes to try to ride on the shoulder and commit to that, and it was still impossible because shoulder was too steep already, you know. But then I commit, and then I had one big wash, and I think I will never forget this. Lucky enough, I was very lucky. I didn't break the gear. Nothing happened, but maybe I don't want to be on that condition anymore. This is like what I would say. But now 4 feet, since that experience and since big days on Manawa, now 4 feet swell seems like, you know, fun for me.
All right. So you get used to that. But when I think about these videos and you in that super big wave and then you fall, I mean, you have daggers built to your board, which is probably pretty still close to you. Did anything ever happen?
Touch wood not, and I'm very lucky. I had also very big wipeout at Mauritius last year. We literally, I was like, you know, in Timbul dry, like washing machine with my gear like that all around. And I don't know, and same at Exmouth this year. I don't know how I managed to do this, but luckily nothing happened. However, now I have special leashes, one of my board, which I can just unhook and release. And second is like, it's Anchorman leash from Cloud9. And they send me this leash. And I think I save not only, you know, in terms of my, like, my life or avoid the injury, but also gear wise, because it's like you have like a plastic hook and you literally can release your wing. So, you know, you have more drag and this wing probably will fly in the sky, make a few runs. And then in the end, it's like a bag, like a anchor, you know, and it's soon grab the water. It just stays stable behind the, you know, impact zones.
This parachute thing, right?
Yeah, this parachute thing. If you go big waves, I will highly recommend to, you know, have one for your own safety.
What other precaution do you take? You have a jet ski right by your side, or how do you do that?
At Mauritius, I'm the friends with the, you know, Iron Class owner. So I always, whoever is on, you know, working stuff, I said, hi guys, I'm going to Manawa, because as you know, Manawa is 2 kilometers from the shore. This is color of my wing. I'm planning 1 hour of my session. For example, if I'm not back, please look after me. But also also on big days, like, just we can have make a jokes, but actually Mauritius is really serious place, because, you know, channels, etc., many, and far away from the shore, many things can really go wrong very fast there. So on big days I take my impact vest and phone, so I can call, you know, if I just have a zip on my chest and can call if something happened. And usually, yeah, there is few rescue boats either way in Iron Club or from local, you know, providers. And I'm always with my helmet on the waves. And also, you know, I love my yellow helmet from Forward Whip, because, you know, at least if I fall off, maybe someone will be easy to, you know, spot me or not roll over me. So this is something like a habit, you know, this helmet and impact vest. Yeah, these two things, especially on big days, you know, you never know. You can even fall off on the boards and break, you know, your ribs. So it's unnecessary risk, which can happen in, things can go wrong really quick. Last year in Exmouth, it was just normal day, you know. I was after wave, I make a jibe, look, where is my friend, upwind, I lost the conscious because, you know, I was looking, lost my balance, and I fall off on the board, and unfortunately, board go sideways, and I hit my chin in the board. It wasn't like, I had, you know, some bleeding, but it was small, but I get concussion, and I lost, you know, I was knocked out for, like, I don't know, 3 seconds, but still it's happened, you know, so better use some safety, you know, equipment.
But there's nothing that can help you against the knock on the chin.
No, and also nothing. This is winging, guys. This is not kitesurfing. Even on windsurfing, when I had a big wipeout, it was not like that. On kitesurfing, you can pull the bar and you're gone. You know, you up, your board will be hanging without it. But on winging, if you are in impact zone and something happens, you are in troubles. Like literally in, you know, serious troubles. So, and then, you know, you just wash. There's different technique, you know, some people try to drop the wing against the waves, you know, but it's definitely, I think someone who was, you know, big wave winging had those scary moments.
That was one of my questions, actually. Yeah. Like, how do you have like some, techniques that you use when you're getting washed out?
You know, when you fall off, you don't have any control. Yeah? But as soon as I fall off and I turn around and see that another set is coming, I usually let it go my wing. I'm not saying that depends of the swell that I, unhook myself from the wing, but just let it go. I grab both hands, I grab the back strap and put the nose with the waves, you know, in to the shore direction. And try to lay flat and put my legs behind this to be far away from the gear. So if I push the pressure, you know, with two hands like that, whatever, how I will be rolling, I sort of underwater, I sort of start to, you know, protect myself from being hidden by the foil. And board is in the front of me, you know, so it's like board me and the waves behind, how I works for me anyway.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. I have a question about the filming or maybe the feeling, the waves. If you go down a tall wave, do you realize how big it is? Or is it only after when you watch the videos when you see like, oh, that was bigger than I felt?
If it's really, really big, I realize straight and I'm on this wave and I'm like, oh shit, don't fall off. Better don't fall off because, you know, I really take a risk. And I had this question many times. I think I posted some big crashes from Bali and Mauritius. And it was like, for example, just, you know, breaking wave and just, you know, almost was eaten, you know, or I was sucked in a few times. Man, I will be not lying to you. It's really scary and it can be painful because twice I was really pulled very, very hard. I thought it was rip my arm or something, but no pain, no gain. What can I say? You know, I love wave riding. This is my things, you know. I do a little bit freestyle and different stuff, but when you see me when I'm going wave riding, it's totally different, you know, mood and level. So I guess this is like, you know, a bit addiction maybe as well, but great fun. It's not every time need to be big waves, you know, it's just fun to ride them.
When I see your videos, they look very well produced. Do you have always or often someone with you who films?
Oh, that's a very good question, Matt. Actually, not often, but because I'm in this, you know, triangle, Australia, Mauritius, Bali, I'm lucky enough to have people in each of those places. And at Mauritius, my good friend of mine, Kirill Gab, he's a brilliant, you know, video maker and producer. So not only like, you know, drone pilot, but as you can see on this video, he really take a risk as I am on the waves because he's flying really low to get a good angle. So if anyone, you know, heading to Mauritius and want to have a great even holiday, you know, footage from either way, winging, windsurfing or kiting, this is definitely the guy to, you know, approach. And we were talking actually a lot how we do this, you know, in this whole video, marketing video for, you know, Digital Leaf and WIP. And we had some ideas, and I think, and we had also great fun in filming that. But this beach part was probably the most difficult for me, because it was like running on the beach from 6 a.m. and repeating the stuff, you know, and I'm not a model and I didn't feel really well with that. But it was hard physical work, you know, but great experience though.
And there you see that this is a job as well, right? Can you add his or give us his Instagram handle so people can contact him eventually?
Of course, that would be great. So it's Kirill gap.gap.
Yeah, we're gonna add it in the description of the video or on screen up here somewhere. You can send it to us later on.
How about prone foiling? Because you started with wing foil, and then of course you started towing in. And how about prone foiling?
So, Gal, because I was running the school business and, you know, organizing the comms, be on board, I was a really busy person and I didn't have much time to riding, sadly, for myself. And this year, 2024, especially beginning of April, I was like, because I have birthday in April, I was like, nah, I'm changed this. It can be like that. So I went to Bali, start to learn prone foiling and toe foiling. I start to learn surfing this year and also downwinding, and I'm planning next week to be familiar with this para wing, you know. So I just went to the trips and put my, you know, hours in this and commitment. And each those discipline, to be fair, is hard for me because I have, you know, water sport background, but from wind sport, not necessarily surfing or, you know, proning. But I'm slowly, you know, getting there, I think, I hope.
Well, when I watch your videos, you pretty much look like you know what you're doing.
But it's a lot again, I don't think that I'm like super talented person or something like that, but definitely I am the term and just slowly, you know, put my hours and watch a lot of videos as well where I am or where I want to be. And I think since April already, it's even not end of the year, I'm pretty happy with my proning or towing, but it's still, you know, a lot of work to do in those disciplines, that's for sure.
We had the guys from Foil Drive on a couple of episodes ago. Is that anything you would want to try, because you could combine that proning or the downwinding without any help, without boat?
Look, I think the four drive are great devices for someone who, like, you know, living on the lake, or people who are not maybe, like, you know, very skilled. And I'm not even saying in terms of, you know, be skilled or not, but, you know, they are retired, or, you know, they still want to be like on e-foil in the water and share the stock and enjoy. I think it's the great devices, and it also can be great tool for learning either way, wing foiling or proning. However, I'm 53 kilo, this is not a secret. So for myself, this all, you know, proper with battery, it seems like be even on my small board pretty heavy. And I was considered actually to use them for improve, you know, my proning or cheat a bit in the beginning of my downwind adventure. But then I realized, no, I'm not a cheater. I need to commit and I need to do it. So, you know, who knows? If someone send me one for free, I will not probably say no to test and see how it goes. But I have a few goes actually on e-foils from my friends or the foil drive. But like, it's a good fun for me for 15 minutes, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you look too sporty to have a shortcut.
And I'm afraid of this, maybe, I don't know, but this is, you know, engine, this, you need to definitely, as with everything, probably put your hours to commit to this. But I know many people who use them and, you know, they are very happy about it.
I said it in the intro that sometimes people look at you differently because you're a woman. Have you experienced any things like that?
Oh, look. This is really hard topic because one hand, being woman in water sport, you always says it's like a boys club, you know, doesn't matter if you're surfing or the discipline. And second thing is be a woman in Australia. So, well, this is quite challenging sometimes, but also I'm very fortunate to meet really good friends, like in, you know, the guys, which are really cool and supportive. But sometimes, yes, unfortunately, still I'm dealing with, oh, you did pretty good, like for like a girl, you know, oh, you are a girl and you're foiling. Like, I'm not sure what those comments and questions are about, but I think we are all equal and ocean is, you know, open for everyone. So it's quite surprising that in 21st century we still, you know, have those comments, but I guess it's the depends of the person, like everywhere probably.
For me, it's really hard to understand. We talked with Hriku episode 1 about that, and even if I look at my YouTube, which is super small by the way, but they're 98% male viewers, and I don't know why that is.
I think, Matt, because, you know, you share the stock, so this is the first thing, and you with Gal are very nice guys, but I give you the example. First year on my lessons in school was 98% of guys, okay? Next year, start this number a little bit changing, and last year when I was teaching was last season, was 35 women, which I'm very happy about this. And I think there's few factors. In Australia, men's not really likely like to be told by the girl, and especially, you know, blonde girl from Europe. So some people will be struggling 3 months and not successful in the river before they, you know, decide to come for the lesson, which is, that's all right. Everyone has different style. And girls, usually they're really great learner because they are great listener. So they really follow the instruction and tips, you know, without discussion. I'm not saying the guys not, but it's a bit about a different approach. And I think that they are very, girls are very humble, like to listen others, you know, they want to, if they don't know something, they want to learn more. You know, I'm very grateful for what you guys said about my wave riding, but I still feel like I'm really need to put a lot of hours to learn more, and I'm not a superstar or something like that. I just love to do this, but it's a long way, you know, in the up in the front of me where I really want to be. Of course, I'm very grateful and happy that I can training and be in the water. But, you know, like, as well, I don't like talking about myself this way. But, for example, the guys coming in the lesson and they said, for example, or I want to be on the foil tomorrow and I can smash it. You know, this is that kind of approach. And the ladies coming and said, oh, look, Anna, I decided to give you a call because you are the lady and I thought I would feel safe with you. But I really am not sure if I can't do it, you know. And if they are reaping, they are good, which I can see, you know, out there, they always underestimate themselves or compare themselves to the guys. And guys, sometimes, look, this is just example. I'm not saying that's happening all the time. They are not really, let's say, cause this great skis, and they behave like, you know, king of the spots. So this is really like, and I spoke with many girls in water sport and good friend of mine and really way better rider than I in different disciplines and sort of same, you know, feedback coming, unfortunately. So guys, we are equal. Let's change this, please. It's really, what you guys think, just last one, it's really nicer have a girls around at the beach. It's different vibes. And usually girls are very supportive. They are not competitive. Smiling, I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is just, I'm sharing my experience.
Thank you for that.
That's true, yeah. And plus, I have to mention that there is this pattern. When someone is like, yeah, I'm going to smash it. First of all, he's going to get it. It's going to take him like double the time. And then he's going to get injured. Like the chances of getting injured when you're so cocky and when you're not humble, you're going to get humbled by the activity, by the gear. So yeah. the girl approach in these sports is safer, 100%.
100% agree, Gal. And give you example, when I want to learn Air 360 on the wing, for 2 weeks, I was jumping and landing 180 only, because first I was scared, second, I really wanted not to do, and touch wood, since then, whenever I'm, if you know, crash my 360, I never fall off on the board. So about safetyness, maybe this is something in that.
Yeah, just one last question, because I'm curious now, because you said that you don't want to live in Perth for the rest of your life, in Australia probably for the rest of your life. And I guess that you traveled a little bit, Bali, Mauritius, whatnot. So if you can, if you want to share, what do you have in mind?
Sure. That's a very, very good question, guys. So I love Western Australia, but for a few months per year for holidays, because in terms, you know, it was great life. I had five, actually, I came to Australia in December 2019. So I had great 5 years here. But, okay, waves are better in Mauritius, in my opinion. That's the... And I follow my heart. So that's the, besides of talking about, you know, cost living, visas, different stuff, that's the thing, that Mauritius have a clean ocean water as well. Amazing lives, wildlife, and, you know, I guess lifestyle in terms as well. A lot of green forest and awesome hiking, which is a little bit variety, not only, you know, the ocean and... I think at the moment, you know, let's see when life brings me or sent me, but Manawa is one of my favorite ways in the world. So this is the reason when I will be still in three places around the world, but I think from March, April, I will be based for real in Mauritius and coming to Perth for my, you know, clinics and holidays. I think I will still keep my van. I have pretty fancy, you know, Volkswagen Crafter long wheelbase, you know, self-made van here. So it's great for like holidays trip, but in terms of where I want to be in wave riding, I think it's the better environment for training, and also very fortunate to have great friends there. And either way, there, Bali or here, but just the waves, God, this is the answer, the honest answer.
100%, and I couldn't agree more. But how about your school? Are you going to keep it open with someone helping out there, or... It's gonna go fully online, I mean fully camps.
So I decided to not provide lessons in Perth anymore and transit to camps, and lucky enough had I think 450 customers during the 3 years in my school, so it was really busy, as you can see, and just you know, inform all my students that we will be doing these camps, and you know, people have holidays time if they want to come and nail from zero to hero or even different skills, that more than welcome, but no more one-on-one coaching or, you know, like lessons or high performance coaching. This, I would like to move myself from this. Maybe I will be doing only online coaching a little bit for people who can't really, you know, come to none of those spots, or they are, you know, in Canada, which I did a little bit, in different places. But yeah, I'm planning to yeah, move to those clinics. And just the example, this year I did a trial at Mauritius, and in 10 days, it was beautiful condition, though every day windy, but the guys were who rock up on this clinic, they were doing 50-50 jibes, you know, and they ended up with grabbing home toe side, heel side tucks, both sides, raise jibe, 360, all on the foil. So I think, like, you know, in 10 days, it's pretty amazing achievement. And also at Bali, I had beginners and the girls who have no water sport background or experience. Like, I'm saying no, like, never, literally nothing. Even they have never ever stand on the stand-up paddle board, just can swim and snorkeling. they nailed, you know, toe falling from big board behind the boat until took them with a small sinker and wake start to the first wave. And three of them were up on the foil, both sides in terms of winging, and one of them nailed the jibe in 5-day clinic. So I think it's pretty, you know, fast. So if someone want to name the skill fast instead, you know, coming for the lesson, this is the goal.
100%. Yeah, I think it's just a smarter business decision. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I was thinking how I can earn at least same money, but work a little bit less and enjoy myself and upgrade my skills in the water. And one thing which put me as well to decision was like in terms of, you know, geographic wise, it's, I think, a smart decision because luckily pushing my Instagram hard, I start to have pretty nice, you know, recognition around the world. But not many people will come to Australia, you know, because it's far away and it's expensive, to be fair. And Mauritius, I'm just saying, it's halfway. Yes. Yeah? So we have halfway to Europe and halfway to, you know, so that's also, and I would love to work somehow because I have a missing home a little bit after 5 years. So it would be nice also to work with Polish people in terms, you know, teach them. And this Mauritius and Bali definitely can bring, you know, on board.
Thank you very much, Anna. Thank you for taking your time and having your fifth session, downwind session, a little shorter to talk with us. That was amazing. Thank you so much. Is there anything you want to add, want to tell the audience just before we wrap it up?
No, I just want to say so sorry for talking a lot, but I didn't know what to, you know, I was a little bit nervous and didn't know what to expect. But I just want to thank you so much, guys, because it's nice to I'm really appreciate that you pick up, you know, the gear for your podcast, which is amazing because I would love to see more girls in the world and like in the water in terms and don't understand me wrong, as much I really like and enjoy doing this all foiling discipline with my lovely friends or other guys, that's always something, you know, special.
All right, well, thank you much. Then you're in luck, because all that's left for me now is to tell you what the next episode is going to be about, and it's going to be with Julia Castro. I don't know if you seen her, if you know her, Fuerte Julia.
I never met her in person, but I heard about her. So that sounds amazing, guys. And thank you for doing this, and you know, and take your time to listen about my small Polish Australian life.
It was amazing to get amazing, getting yeah. to know you. As we've said, you're foil.anna. We have Carla Daniele. I'm Matt on Foil. If you like this show, to the listeners and to viewers, we have a Patreon. Link is in the description if you want to help us out. And if not, thank you very much for listening, for watching, and see you in the next one.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. For having me.